VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Thank you for being with us today. We witness the breakdown of trust and leadership nearly on a daily basis. We see it in government, we see it on Wall Street, in corporations, in religious institutions. We see it in every facet of society. We discussed the issue of trust earlier this year with Keith Ayers and last month with Ken Blanchard. But what's the relationship between trust and leadership? Simple. You cannot lead without trust. In fact, yesterday, CBS announced the results of a survey by Frank Luntz, indicating that only 35% of Americans trust the president, 32% trust their governor, 16% trust the IRS. And get this, only 11% trust America's CEOs. Not exactly the most laudatory pronouncement of the nation's leaders. For certain, their leadership challenges of the 21st century. So, if this is the problem, what's the solution? Developing a leadership model is one of the most practical, energizing, and stress-reducing things you can do as a leader, says today's guest, Douglas R. Conant. Doug is a New York Times best-selling author for his book, Touchpoints, Creating Powerful Leadership Connections in the Smallest of Moments, and a sought-after keynote speaker. He is the founder of and CEO of Conant Leadership, and prior to that, he was the CEO and president of the Campbell Soup Company for 10 years, where he engineered the company's turnaround and put it on a path to success. At Campbell, Doug established the Campbell CEO Institute to train the company's future leaders, and it is my pleasure to have him as my guest for the hour. Doug, it's good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much.
Doug, please tell us, what is Conant Leadership?
Well, Conant Leadership is an organization I established after I retired from Campbell Soup Company that's dedicated to helping improve the quality of leadership in the 21st century. Our leaders today, as highlighted in the survey information you just shared with the audience, are under unprecedented scrutiny and pressure. And I think that demands that they take unprecedented initiatives to become better leaders. I don't think there's any way around it. I think they're going to have to double down and work harder to earn the trust of the people whom they are challenged to lead. And I believe that this is like a lot of things. If you work hard at it, you can get better. And so the Conant Leadership is an organization dedicated to helping move that proposition forward.
To what degree did your tenure at Campbell prepare you to launch this new organization?
You know, I have been on this journey, I think, since I started my college career. I became fascinated as a history and political science major with American presidents. And I was fascinated that how all these individuals could be exceptional leaders, yet all be so uniquely different. And then I started studying world leaders. And then as I went into business, I started studying business leaders. And then I started studying the concept of business leadership and leadership in general. And this has been a journey for over 40 years now for me. So as I was moving on from Campbell, I saw an opportunity to share some of the perspective I've gained over the last 40 years with people who were hungry to learn and grow. At Campbell, I was able to test a lot of my thoughts out as CEO over the decade, and I must say they, while everything didn't work out, I learned a lot there that has informed the work I'm doing now. But really, this is a work in process that's been going on for 40 years.
And while at Campbell, you established the Campbell CEO Institute. Now, I don't know if Campbell is the only company that has that, but certainly several companies have great management training programs. But this yours seems to be one that focused on the upwardly mobile senior managers to cultivate them and groom them into corporate leaders. Is that accurate?
Well, yes, it is. And it's just I found that where you had good leaders, you had very productive organizations, and those leaders had this unique opportunity to touch a lot of people. And so in order to have scalable impact, I chose to focus at Campbell on our leaders, on our leaders of tomorrow. We had 20,000 people working at Campbell, and the people that went through my program were all touching those 20,000 people in a meaningful way every day. So it was a focused effort. And what made it was inspired by actually what Jack Welch did at GE on a larger scale with Crotonville, where he personally invested his time helping groom the future leaders of GE. And my business school professor who helped Jack was a fellow by the name of Ram Charan, who wrote the foreword to my book. And Ram had, in conversation with him, he inspired me to take a personal to make a personal statement in this area, and to actually not just sponsor the work, but do the work and make it part of what I did as a CEO. So what was slightly different relative to other programs I'm aware of in the corporate world, this program, I taught it. I ran it. It was a two-year program for 20 to 25 high-potential leaders in I. Campbell Soup Company. Ran for 2 years. They had reading. They had homework. They had meetings with me to review their homework. It was more than me, but I was at the center of this learning experience for them. And over 6 years, I was able to connect with well over 70 leaders who are now, many of whom are now leading the Campbell Soup Company. And incidentally, they're doing better without me than they did with me. So I guess I should feel good about that.
Indeed. Let me take you back to something you said earlier, and that was that during the course of your study of people, whether those were U.S. presidents or corporate leaders, you found that an awful lot of those people were very good and they were very different, if I'm paraphrasing that correctly. My question is, did you find any commonalities in the attributes that they each possessed?
Well, I do, but I would say that, you know, I have read, Chris, I've probably read well over 1,000 books on leadership in my life. And you know, and they're all good. And I've studied all these leaders, but none of those leaders completely resonate with me. Like I could say, I'm fascinated by Teddy Roosevelt, but, and there are aspects of what the way he led that inspire me, but some of the other things he did don't resonate with me. And I find that's true with everybody whom I'm exposed to as I'm doing my leadership training work. There are all kinds of examples of good leaders, but they don't resonate with individuals because the individual involved, their life experiences and their aspirations are not captured in that leadership model. So what we decided early on was that while there are some common traits, and I'll talk about those in a minute, each one of us has a unique leadership journey. And we have to really get in touch with that in order to be an effective, authentic leader. And so what we have focused on doing is working with individuals to highlight their unique aspirations and then to populate kind of their leadership model with some very core things that are more the same than they are different, so that they can create a way of leading that is authentic to them and represents the best they have to offer in every moment. Now, there are common things. The first thing, and you led off with it, actually, the first thing, all leaders have to be able to inspire trust. And so there is some work that all leaders need to do to inspire trust, and we can talk about that. Then leaders have to work with the group with whom they are associated to create a direction, because people hunger to know where they're going. That direction also needs to be somewhat aspirational, because if they're going to go on the journey, they want it to be worthwhile. There's so many demands on their life. They need to be doing something that is worthwhile but approachable and credible. Then all the people working on this journey, as a leader, you have to make sure they're aligned to go execute the journey. You have to give them the energy to go fight the good fight. You have to really focus on bringing the entire effort to life, and you have to execute that effort with excellence. The language we use around that for all leaders is a good plan well executed beats a brilliant plan poorly executed every time. That's some of the dilemma that our president faces today. Some very aspirational plans that we're not executing very well. And unfortunately, he is painted with that brush. And then the last thing a leader needs to do that's common, the sixth thing, is that they need to deliver against the expectations in some meaningful way. They have to produce the results that they were targeting to produce. As they do that, they then inspire more trust. And then it gets easier to lead, because you now have what I call a flywheel of success. So you inspire trust, create direction, align the organization, motivate and inspire the people to pursue that direction, execute with excellence, produce extraordinary results, and then you inspire more trust, and you have this flywheel of performance. That is what all great leaders have in common.
That's fascinating. Let's look at a little bit at something that you advocate, and that is the importance of employee engagement. I want to come back to those common traits of leaders, but I want to touch on a leader is only as good as he or she can lead the way, inspire people, and have those people engaged to go along with the ride. Am I correct?
Well, leaders need followers. And so in an employee conversation or in any enterprise, leaders need followers. And followers, if you want them to be, my observation is, if you want to be them to be truly engaged in the agenda of the enterprise, I'm truly engaged, you have to be truly engaged in helping meet their needs and their life journey. And so I have found that employee engagement, encouraging them to be engaged in our agenda and creating a culture where our leaders are engaged in meeting our employee needs in a unique and meaningful way, I have found that to be the key to success, actually, in creating a high-performance culture. I think employee engagement is probably at the top of the list in that regard.
Indeed. We'll talk about those points and much more when we come back from a short break. My guest is Doug Conant, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris FSC. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter?
Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu with my guest, Doug Conant. Please visit Doug's website at conantleadership.com and follow him on Twitter at Doug Conant. For information on this program and other activities, please visit my website, chrisepicu.com or cdochiefdaddyofficer.com, where you will find the just-released second edition of my book, CDO Chief Daddy Officer. My Facebook page is Chris Epicu, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Now, as you know, we've had a contest running for the past 6 weeks aiming to come up with a phrase to replace the phrase work-life balance. Now, this contest is now over, and I will announce the winner of that contest at the bottom of the hour. Before we went on break, we talked about a number of common traits that leaders possess or must possess. Certainly one of the at the top of the list is trust. And the second one, Doug, I believe it was direction.
Mm-hmm.
So the direction, I suppose it is another word for having a plan, having a vision. In most cases, or in all cases, that vision must be communicated with everyone downstream from the C-suite. Do you, in your experience, do you find that that communication takes place?
I find it takes place, but unevenly and typically inadequately. You know, the world has changed, Chris, substantially since I started the first 25 years of my career with the last quarter of the 20th century. The first decade of the 21st century, I was a CEO. When I started my career, organizations were very hierarchical, and things would typically go up the chain of command. And would be opined on, decided on, and come back down the chain of command, and you would go out and execute it. And the people who were at the lower levels of the organization did not really need to understand the full plan. They just needed to follow orders. And that model, that hierarchical model, has been blown up in the 21st century with the explosion of information on-demand decision-making. And now everyone in the organization needs to have a good intimate knowledge of what's expected and how it's expected to be delivered, because their customers are expecting them to be responsive on demand when an issue comes up. So there's no time to run it up the flagpole to the people that really understand everything that needs to be done and then run it back down and make a decision. So I've seen the world change, and that demands that everyone in the organization have a much better working knowledge of what, quote-unquote, the plan is and what the expectations are than ever before. And most organizations haven't evolved that far yet. The other thing I've observed is that when leaders communicate a plan or develop and communicate a plan, hopefully they develop it in a way that enrolls the broader organization in the creation of the plan, but not always. When they start to communicate the plan, they assume that they can say it once and everybody's got it. Well, as you know, in this work, you have to reach a certain number of people a certain number of times in an average 4-week period to create breakthroughs so they actually understand it. So you have to be sharing that plan and that vision with everyone all the time in the organization. You can never do it enough. And many leaders think, well, I've said that about 10 times. Well, everyone in the organization has maybe heard it once, and that's insufficient. So you have to find ways to communicate the essence of what you intend to do with the organization that get into the fabric of the everyday lives of the people with whom you live and work. And that's hard work, and most leaders sort of say, well, I've said it once, and take it for granted that it's been communicated. And I think that's a missed opportunity. And then typically things break down because people are making decisions and interacting with customers and consumers and each other in ways that are not consistent with the expectations of the plan.
That's entirely true. In marketing, we call that reach and frequency.
That's right. Effective reach. How many people do you reach in an average 4-week period? How many people do you need to reach in an average 4-week period in order to make sure they get the message?
Exactly. And how many times have you delivered that message to them? Because reaching them any number of times, or reaching them once and delivering the message once, doesn't do it. As you mentioned earlier, it doesn't do it if you just do it multiple times. It has to be a consistent stream of flow of information going down to them with extreme consistency and high repetition in order for the people to get it. This is not because people are not intelligent. This is simply because people are inundated with messages, and yours happens to be just another message.
Yeah, so, sadly, that's true. You like to think as a CEO your message is more important, but not really. On average, when I go out and give talks to organizations, I don't care if it's Google and there are a bunch of 27-year-olds or Vanguard with some mid-40s leaders, they're getting 200 to 300 emails a day. They're getting text messages, and heaven forbid they actually have to meet someone in person and have a conversation. And then on top of that, they get a call from school that says, Johnny's not feeling well, can you come home today? Today's employees are just, they feel as if they're trying to get a sip of water from the fire hydrant of life, and it is washing over them, and you're just a piece of that stream. So you have to find a way to be uniquely relevant to them and to be consistent, and then to deliver on what you said you were going to do and let them know, by the way, this was our plan and our plan is working or not working, and we need to make these adjustments. You need to have a constant dialogue within the confines of your organization regarding what you're trying to accomplish and how you're doing with it if you hope to enroll everyone in the enterprise in the effort.
Very true, and as important as communication is when things are going well, it is just as important, if not more important, when things are not necessarily materializing the way that they were hoped to be. For instance, countless examples of CEOs of companies that the company has hit a rough patch, and they are working in the C-suite to get the company out. They probably managed to get the company out quite successfully, but in the interim, there is fallout from the ranks because people are in the dark. They know there's a problem. They just don't know, A, what the problem is, or if they do know what the problem is, they don't know how management is progressing toward the resolution of that problem. Oh. And for many, many people, uncertainty is a very, very dangerous thing.
And as a leader, you have to create confidence for people because you know they are going to have moments where they're going to have questions, and the situation is going to look ambiguous. There's going to be a certain level of uncertainty. Well, in my experience, Stephen Covey was right when he started talking about the emotional bank account for people. When things are going well, or even when they're not, you want to make sure that people are going to give you the benefit of the doubt when things go badly, because the one thing you know is they will go badly. And so you want them to say, well, you know, I don't exactly know the situation, but I feel as if I can trust Doug Conan. I know where he stands. I know what the plan is. I know how we deal with these things. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, Doug Conant has to come forward and rise to the challenge and help get the issue resolved. But what you want as a leader is you want the benefit of the doubt, and you have to earn that. And you earn that before you ever have any of these issues, by declaring yourself, by communicating your plan, by bringing it to life, letting people know what's working, what's not working, and what we need to do a little differently. And you need to be very actively out there bringing that plan to life for people and building credibility, because the one thing you know is something will go wrong and people will question your credibility. So you have to build that credibility 24/7, 365 days a year.
It's very true. And there are easy ways to remember that, and I just blogged about that earlier this week, developing an acronym called PLACE. PLACE, standing for P, plan. Create a plan with the input of as many of your team members as you can. L is for lead. Lead by example. Your actions and reactions will be followed by everyone in your team. Act. No substitute for that. Communicate. Let your team know what you're doing, how you're doing it. And you can't impart all information to all people, but there's certainly nuggets of information that you can share. And E is evaluate. So keeping your fingers on the pulse of that plan that you have created and making adjustments as necessary.
I love it.
Thank you.
That's great.
It's a thing that I have had developed in my professional work, and I found it working equally well at work and at home. It makes no difference who is on the other side of you, whether that's an employee, a coworker, or your child or your spouse. So, place for plan, lead, act, communicate, and evaluate.
Then you go right back to the beginning and you replan based on how you did when you evaluated.
Oh, absolutely.
That's great.
It's the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just a couple of minutes away from break, but you said that the leader needs to be inspirational because people will follow people that inspire them. I will never forget when I was working in corporate America, I would absolutely cherish those big meetings where the CEO took the microphone and he gave his thoughts about the company, whether it was overall management, whether it was sales, whatever. But there were, no matter what he said it in an inspiring way. And at the end of that segment, all of us would feel like we would just, you know, run against walls for this guy.
Because
he is the leader, and he motivated us and inspired us all to go deliver for whatever it is that he challenges us to do. Let's talk more about that on the other side of the break. My guest is Doug Conant. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris FSC. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu with my guest, Doug Conant. Please visit his website, conantleadership.com, and follow him on Twitter, @DougConant. As I said earlier, we had a contest running, and today I am pleased to announce the winner of that contest, which was running for about 6 weeks. We were seeking to replace the phrase work-life balance with a more updated and descriptive phrase. I want to thank all of those who have participated and sent in suggestions. Of course, there is only one winner, and the winning phrase to replace work-life balance is total life harmony, submitted by Carrie Norris. As a result, Carrie will be my co-host on the show in the very near future. Once again, thank you all for participating, and congratulations to Carrie Norris for total life harmony. And that is a perfect segue into what we were talking about before, and that is the inspiration, whether that inspiration comes from a leader at work or a leader at home, and leaders at home, of course, are the parents. It's important to be motivated, because it's important for us to feel that there is an ultimate goal we are reaching for. And reaching is the operative word here, because if the goal is too easy to reach, too within our common reach, there's no stretch, and therefore the accomplishment does not count as much. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. I think, it's very much in the sweet spot of kind of the Maslow hierarchy in a very simple way, that people want to do four things in their work. First of all, they spend most of their time either at work or thinking about work, typically more than they spend actually deeply reflecting about their family and friends. And so it needs to be important, and we found in our work that basically, all employees are looking for four things. They're looking to be able to make a living in a quality environment. They're looking to feel loved and valued in the workplace. They're looking to learn and grow. And ultimately, at the top of that pyramid is this notion of self-actualization. And they're looking to leave a legacy of contribution that's meaningful and that transcends the ordinary. So when you're trying to connect with your employees, you've got to be hitting on all four levels. They've got to feel good about the hygiene of the culture and that they're making a decent living. They've got to feel valued. They've got to be learning. But they have to feel as if they're doing something special. What's interesting is there's an art to this, because it has to be special, but it also has to be credible. They have to believe they can achieve it. many leaders get out too far away from an ability to deliver, and those kind of aspirations fall on deaf ears because people want to be associated with success. They want to be associated with delivering success, not just talking about it. And so these aspirations that leaders hope to inspire the people with whom they live and work, they have to be aspirational, but they also have to be achievable. Maybe not without a lot of hard work, but the employee needs to look at it and at the challenge in the cold light of day and say, yeah, maybe we can do that, maybe, in order to be enrolled in the game. And that's the art of leadership. You have to find the nexus of what is aspirational and what is ultimately achievable. And then you have to communicate it in a compelling way to the people who you're working with.
If it's too much of a pie in the sky and too fluid and they cannot wrap their hands and minds around it, it's pretty difficult to see your way clear into materializing that.
Well, it's hard. You know, it would be hard for me. It's not that bolder visions aren't necessary and aren't helpful to help us know where we're ultimately headed. But when you're grinding away every day in the workplace, you have to feel as if you're making progress. And what you're doing is going to be of some consequence in some reasonable period of time. And so it's important for leaders to craft a bold mission, but then have clear steps there that again can stand up to scrutiny in the cold light of day.
Action is the key here, of course, and action can be execution to excellence and so on and so forth. But you say that the action is in the interaction.
Well, I do, and this is something I've landed on in the last decade or so of my work life. This notion of leadership, as I said, I probably read over 1,000 books on leadership. I've studied leaders in every shape and form all around the world. They're all uniquely different, but leadership has been made to be this complicated subject that has taken on a life of its own. And I think for people to be being able to incorporate leadership traits into their daily lives, we have to get to the far side of complexity here. And I have chosen to do that through this notion of touch points, creating powerful leadership connections in the smallest of moments. What I say is ultimately, as a leader, it's all about how you show up in the moment. When you are talking to someone, how are you showing up? And if you show up in a thoughtful way, where you're listening intently, you're making sure you frame the issue, and you're helping the individual to advance against to address an issue. If you're doing that effectively, you're leading. And if you're not, you're not. And so what I try and get leaders to do is think about the hundreds of interactions they have every day and to realize that is where ultimately they're being tested. It's how they show up in the moment. You know, I can, as a leader, as a CEO, I could talk to our 20,000 employees. They would know where I stood on everything. But I guarantee you where my reputation with them was developed was when the one time when they met me and how I showed up and whether I showed up in a credible, authentic, helpful way or not. And they would all say, and any one of them would say, well, I met him once and this is how he behaved. Forget about that I've written a book and articles and that I've spoken hundreds of times to employee groups. It was all about how I showed up in the moment. And I challenge leaders to just think about showing up in key moments every day a little more effectively today than you did yesterday. And in our book, Touch Points, we actually create a model for doing this. But in that sense, the action, and where you really get traction and action as a leader, is in the interaction, in the moment. And all of a sudden, what we find is leaders can deal with that. They can say, well, I can show up a little better, you know, three times tomorrow than I did today. And all of a sudden, this becomes approachable. as we talked earlier about this notion of inspiring people. You want it to be aspirational, but you also want it to be achievable. And we're sort of, my co-author in this book and I have made this an achievable proposition for people in their daily life. And that's where we really got traction as we launched our book.
That's clearly a very true and wise statement. Now, the action being in the interaction and in touch points, you're talking that the daily interruptions that face leaders in, you know, tremendous quantities. You mentioned earlier the number of emails everybody gets, and you know, mm-hmm. the phone call from school that Johnny is not feeling well. Those are the moments where the greatest leadership opportunities lie. It isn't in being cocooned with your top talent, though that has great value, but that is of reasonably limited scope. Where I think you get it scaled up is, as you suggest, that those are in the daily interruptions. Can you elaborate on that just a bit?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was doing one of my leadership training offsites that we did with my CEO Institute, and I was walking around the lake before we were heading back to, you know, the chaos of work, and my co-author Meta Norgaard and I were walking around this beautiful lake in the bucolic setting of the Poconos, and she was saying, "Well, how can you go back to the chaos of work? All those phone calls, all those unplanned interruptions. How can you go back from this beautiful bucolic setting to that chaos?" And I said, "You know, it's funny. I don't think about it that way. I think about all those interruptions as opportunities to be helpful to people." And that was the paradigm shift that ultimately that I had developed that ultimately led to us writing this book. You see, I found that people were actually coming to me with problems, and they were actually ready to deal with them when they came to me, as opposed to me showing up in their office saying, "You ready to talk about this yet?" They were ready. We were able to move things forward. If I could find a way to smartly engage with them when these things came my way, now, obviously, I couldn't do it on everything, but on important things I could. We were able to move things so much faster and so much more effectively. So we started looking at all these interactions as opportunities to actually improve the situation, because they were coming up when people were ready to deal with them, as opposed to when I wanted to schedule a meeting 3 days later at 4 o'clock. And so we started to develop this touch point model that said, when these touch points happen, they are spring-loaded with possibilities. And we just have to be thoughtful about how we take advantage of them. And then there's another piece of this. This is the real world. Do you think you're going to have more interruptions tomorrow than you did today or less? And the answer is, whenever you talk to corporate people, more.
Yes.
And the human tendency is to want to push all this stuff away so that I can do my real work. The reality is that this is your real work. You have to engage in this with a new paradigm that says all this stuff's going to keep coming at me. I have to be smart about how I choose to engage in it, but if I can engage in it well, I can be effective. If I can't, I won't, because I just can't close the door and push it all away and then stay up all night and get caught up and do it again. So this is the way of the 21st century, and our culture, no culture on earth has developed the capacity to manage this yet. We are swamped with information, again, feeling as if we're trying to take a sip of water from the fire hydrant of life, and we have to change the paradigm that we deal with all this information, or we'll drown. And that's what this notion of getting to the far side of complexity is all about, saying this is a daunting task. Let's just deal with this one interaction. Can we do this a little bit better today than we did yesterday? And what we're finding is you can build a continuous improvement model where you can get a little better every day, and you can transform your contribution profile in work.
And of course, the key question becomes, well, how do I do that? And in your book, you say that the good news is that anyone can develop a touchpoint mastery by focusing on three essential components: head, heart, and hands. Yeah, we'll talk more about that when we come back from a short break. My guest is Doug Conant. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood. I'm Chris FSC. We'll be back in a moment.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris FSCU understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris FSCU. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris FSCU. My guest is Doug Conant. Please visit his website at conantleadership.com and follow him on Twitter at Doug Conant. Before the break, I said that his book talks about that the good news of touch points is that anyone can develop touch point mastery by focusing on three essential components: head, heart, and hands. That, to me, that means, Doug, you have to think about it, you have to feel it, you have to be compassionate about it, and you have to act. Is that about right?
Yeah, I guess we're done with that question. because of all this information that's flowing at us every day, our observation is that you need a mental model for how you want to make decisions, how you want to lead in the moment before you get into these moments. It makes life so much easier as opposed to just trying to react by the seat of your pants all the time. So we challenge leaders to use their head to think about the kind of leader they want to be. We encourage them to write it down, and we ultimately call that a leadership model. How do you want to behave in the moment as a leader? What is truly authentic to you? And think about that. Build this model for how you want to behave. I have my model, which is those six expectations I talked about earlier: inspire, trust, create direction, align the organization, motivate and inspire the troops, execute with excellence, produce extraordinary results. I sort of have a model for how I want to lead, and it informs every interaction I have. That is a good start, but that's only an inside-out exercise. The outside-in exercise says I got to be tuned into the environment in which I'm operating. And that's where the heart comes in. We challenge people to really lead with listening and to develop real empathy for the environment in which they're operating so that they're tuned in. if they have a good mental model for how they want to walk in the world, their leadership model, and they're tuned in an empathic way with the environment in which they're operating, they have the two essential things for being able to navigate successfully in these brief interactions. And then the third piece is hands. And the hands represent the need for practice, and you got to work at it. You take action, you learn from it, and you do a little better tomorrow than you did today. So the head, heart, and head. Head is a mental model. Heart is having empathy within the culture you're operating in. And hands are really the recognition that until you start to act, this is all a mental exercise. And so action is important, and you have to practice it. Practice is perfect. So that's where the head, heart, and hands come from. We develop those concepts in our book. I like them because they're very approachable, and they pass the test of pragmatism that I sort of require, because I had to get out and lead every day. I had to be doing things that were working. So that's where head, heart, and hands come from.
We have a question from a listener, Philip, from Dallas, Texas. He says, Doug, as Chris stated earlier, surveys show that our citizens mistrust the leaders in our government. What, in your opinion, is the lack of authentic leadership with our presidents, senators, and congressmen? And what three things would you advise them to shift from lack of trust onto trust?
Well, I have a few thoughts here. Obviously, this is a complicated subject, but at a very high level, there are a few thoughts. The first one is, if this was easy, it would have been done already, because Lord knows they want to be trusted. And so this is a very complicated issue with lots of tentacles and lots of strands. The second observation is something I heard years ago. I think it might have been from Stephen Covey. He said, Doug, you can't talk your way out of something you behaved your way into. You simply got to behave your way out of it. And a lot of this is this lack of trust is built on layers and layers of behaviors that have compromised credibility. And there's no way to talk your way out of that. You actually have to start to behave differently. And so I think this ultimately is a behavior issue, and it's going to take time to resolve itself.
It's the action that's required here.
Yeah. Otherwise, people are just going to say, well, it's just talk, you know. And so what I found as a leader was that I just assumed people didn't trust me when I started, and nor should they have, because they didn't know me. But I found that over time, if I declared myself, and that's a big part of that's also in our book, I talk about the power of declaring yourself. You sort of have to declare yourself and declare the path you're on. And then you have to deliver against those declarations. And you have to tell people, hey, I actually did what I said I was going to do. And then you have to declare something else, and you have to do it. And then over time, you build credibility back as a leader. And I think that sort of practice has to find its way into our government. That having been said, that's not easy, because we have this incredibly complicated system of checks and balances that make it difficult for any one piece of government to move forward with dispatch without being encumbered by other pieces of government who are there to make sure they're dispatching their duties in a particular way. It's incredibly complex. And I think it's worthy of study. There is one nonprofit group actually based in Washington called the Partnership for Public Service. I'm on their board. And the one thing we are focusing on doing is improving the working conditions in the federal government. And so I tap dance around this issue fairly frequently. And it is a monstrous issue, but it is an issue that needs to be addressed. And there are people out there who are working to address it.
That's a subject for a whole different show.
Oh, that's for a whole different series.
Exactly. In the last minute we have, I want to take your previous comments through the hour and bring them home, literally and figuratively. How can the elements of touch points transfer from the corporate world into the families? In other words, do the lessons and skills that apply to touch points at work apply at life at home?
The answer is absolutely. The family life is a wonderful learning lab for leaders of tomorrow. It's a lab where you have to inspire the trust of the people with whom you live. How do you do that? You display good character by doing what you say you're going to do, and also some competence at doing the work you need to do. My wife was an actress earlier in our career, and I would be home with the kids as the chief daddy officer, and they generally trusted me as being a person of good character, but they also knew I couldn't cook. So they didn't trust the dinners I would serve. So you got to be a person of good character, but you also have to know what you're doing. I learned those lessons in family life, and I tried to apply them at work. And every day I found difficult issues in our family life that required some nuanced leadership that informed how I was going to lead in the corporate world. One last thought on that. What I found, all the derailers for leaders in the corporate world, most roads, virtually all roads, lead back to this fact. The soft stuff is the hard stuff. Where people derail is on soft, nuanced behavior, misunderstanding, communication, intention, not on return on investment analysis. And those soft skills are the ones that are essential to be dealt with as a leader.
I thank you so much for your time and thoughts and insight, and I hope you will agree to join me sometime in the future to take on from where we're leaving off today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So please join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.